Welcome back to the Barca Breakdown. I'm Yusuf.
And my name is Adam.
So we want to start out with one. Please follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Leave us a review on iTunes. Like our boy Grumpy Oso, who left a wonderful review, and we really appreciate it. We like to hear from you guys.
We just got to be honest, guys. You know, we're just two dudes making this podcast, and it really makes us happy to see, A, our podcast grow, which it has, which, you know, we're very stoked on. B, you know, we get some reviews from you guys, and it really makes our day just to see that you guys are enjoying what we're putting out. So thank you very much. Like you said, follow us on Instagram, Twitter. Message us. We'll respond every time,
please.
I guarantee you. And leave us a review as well as follow us on iTunes and
Spotify. I do want to say shout out to our good follower on Twitter, Mateo.
Yes.
He's really into it, and I really enjoy his feedback. It's
true.
Great.
We're working on some new logos, trying to launch a website. So any of you guys that want to interact with us, get some more, you know, takes and have some direction with what we're doing, be like Mateo.
Yes, please. All right, let's get into it.
Yeah, today we're going to talk about, I think we're going to start off with the Inter Milan victory. So excited. Afterwards, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the grumblings of controversy between the board and Piqué, some comments of Lenglet and Messi as well, and then also talk about what I think is people overhyping these Griezmann-Messi comments, but we'll break it down a little bit. Today we played against Inter at the Camp Nou, second game of the Champions League group stage. First game, we all remember, Stegen saved us, and we drew 0-0 in Dortmund. You know, one thing I think we should just immediately start out with talking about is that we're in the group of death, is what everyone called it before. It's only become more of a group of death. I mean, I think Dortmund is playing a little bit below what people thought, but Inter, who we played today, new coach, Conte, they are undefeated in Serie A. They're actually above Juventus right now. They have a big showdown with Juventus coming up on Sunday. They are 6-0. So they've won every game in Serie A. They've, I think, scored 13, allowed 2. So we had a big boy coming in, and obviously we were all a little shaky. Now, I think we all as well got some relief when we saw that Messi and Dembouz came into the lineup.
Yeah, I was happy about that, for sure.
For sure, yeah. I think people were really not necessarily overreacting. I mean, we covered a lot in the last pod about Dembele and his injury woes, but I think that when he got taken out of the squad against Getafe, you know, I didn't think that he really got re-injured. It seemed like he'd just come back from injury. He was kind of overstressing himself, and they wanted him to relax a little bit more. And so I'm happy to see he was healthy and came in. And then, of course, I mean, it'll make my whole week seeing Messi and that run for the second goal.
Definitely.
So happy to see him back. Yeah. So let's go into the starting lineup. I think first I want to talk about on Inter's side, they didn't have Lukaku, right?
Yes, which is a big thing because apparently he had some thigh injury troubles, and that put him out for this game, which is good for us, but by watching the game, it was almost like it was a blessing on us, right? Because the game, the first half especially, if Lukaku was in that second half, it could have changed. But
true. And the thing overall with Lukaku is he's a really big physical forward.
Definitely. He's and fast.
He is fast. His first touch is comical. I think we all laugh about it. But he has been pretty good this season, and I thought he might give some troubles to Lenglet and Piqué, who are though two very tall dudes, not necessarily the most full out. So I thought that he might be able to kind of boss us around. He wasn't in there. Very happy to see it. Lautaro Martinez, as we all know and saw in that first 5 minutes there, put one past us. Probably could have had a second one. And, you know, he was obviously a good second option. He also starts for them. And Barca have talked about actually getting him because he's a teammate of Messi in the Argentine national team.
That's what I was
and
gonna
he
say.
Showed up well at the Copa America. But let's break down the lineup. So Suarez, Griezmann, Messi up front. I think that was standard if Messi was healthy. Because Messi was injured, I was a little bit surprised to see him start.
We both predicted he wasn't going to start.
Yeah, I think it was a big gamble by Valverde, but I think it also indicates how big of a game this was.
Definitely. And to mention, Fati wasn't in. I mean, I didn't really expect him to be playing just because, I don't know, he's still young and we're still kind of questioning like what to do with him. But he was out on growing pains. He's a 16-year-old, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about last pod. We all love Fati, but he is 16 years old, right? And so it is a little ambitious for us to expect him to be a part of the team all the time and to be a major part of the team. And so, you know, hope he gets better.
Well, let's go on to the midfield. We had Arthur, Boussy, De Jong, and
yeah, and I thought, you know, we said this last episode, right? Kind of when I was talking about how my prediction of Boussy getting phased out of the team was wrong because that was the top three midfield. I think later on in this pod, we're going to dissect that, that maybe that, you know, it was a little premature last week saying that was our top three. Mm-hmm. But seeing it on the lineup before today's game, I thought, okay, this is the midfield I wanted to see.
Yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't have started anybody else, although I did like to see Vidal in that second half. So
yes,
maybe
which
we
will definitely get into. And then I think the big thing was that Firpo got hurt.
How? Dude, I don't understand so many injuries. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you have to start wondering about the team's physical preparation. You know, there's a lot of memes about, at one point Valverde said, I don't care about physical prep.
I remember, yeah.
I think it is something to be worried about in general. But hopefully we can, you know, keep Dembele, Messi, Alba, Firpo healthy. And then, you know, because Firpo wasn't in there, we had to put Semedo as that left back. And so overall, I think the lineup was pretty standard. Besides the fact that Messi got started after being out last game, I think this is overall about what I expected for a big Champions League home game.
Yeah, no, I agree. So going in and the first half, let's overview. How did you feel?
Well, I think it's a recurring theme about this whole season, which is what I call like a tale of two cities, which is that, you know, for most of the season, it's been a tale of home versus away games. Mm-hmm. And then this game was really the first versus the second half.
Yeah.
You know, it just seemed like we have this problem this season. I think three times in the first 10 minutes of a game this season, we've had a goal scored against us in the first 10 minutes. And so, you know, we all saw it was a little bit fluky how the ball deflected, but Lautaro ran with it. He beat out Clem because Clem had to cover a lot of ground and then just put a one-timer past Stegen. You know, overall, a great goal on their end.
For sure. I think Lenglet did a good job of defending it. He tried to cut off as best as he could. Unfortunately, it was a great shot right, you know, to the corner. Stegen couldn't do much.
But let's be honest, right? That first half was a nightmare.
And no, for sure.
Not just a nightmare. It was actually, a nightmare is a weird way to say it. It was almost par for the course in standard Valverde Barca this season. And so, I think all of us were kind of sweating bullets thinking, this is the Valverde we thought was going to bring, you know, to the table. And the first half played out that way. I think that overall, the first half was atrocious. And it just felt like we were never able to fluidly move the ball around and keep it. And so they would break on these counters. And I thought they almost could have had 2-3 in that first half, right? I mean, Lautaro had another header in the first half in like the 30th minute.
Saved by Stegen.
Beautiful save by Stegen. And overall, I think, you know, we'll talk about the second half and kind of what changed the game was subbing in Vidal for Busquets and the shift in the midfield that allowed. But I'm kind of eating my own words, right? The first, you know, before the season, I was saying Busquets is old. The season's going to show that he's not our starting material. Last podcast, I had to eat my words because Busquets is starting every game. And then this game, it just looked like he's just not, he doesn't have the pace and the quickness of getting the ball out to different players that he used to have. And so I just feel like there's this constant situation where Busquets is kind of slowing down our play. And then that allows the defense to kind of, you know, take their shape and take the form they want to, and they get a ball from us. Busquets has to make this tackle because he's not catching up to the players as quickly, and then boom, they're off on a counterattack, and it really scares me.
I feel like there's a weird dynamic thing between La Liga and Champions League. In La Liga, I feel like Boussy looks pretty good normally. He looks like he kind of is more comfortable. Now we go to the Champions League, and I feel like he just can't keep up with these other teams. Maybe it's the play style of these other teams. Maybe it's, I mean, definitely his age is getting to him. His speed is getting to him. But maybe we need to think about not playing Boussy. And it's kind of weird to say in these Champions League games. He just doesn't cut it. And I feel like it is a reoccurring theme with him during a Champions League game.
Well, I think what you're highlighting is kind of the difference of the mentality of teams who play against us in Champions and La Liga, right?
That could be very possible.
We've won, what is it? I think 9-12, 8-11. It might be 8-11 La Ligas. And so when we play a team in La Liga, they have a feeling that they're playing against a bigger club, which they are. And so is it? So are they in the Champions League? But I think that teams in the Champions League have the feeling that they're coming to Barca and they're going to win. You know, and they have a feeling that they're going to come and put pressure to us and take the game to us, which teams in La Liga don't. And it's in those situations when teams are pushing us and, willing to press us in the Camp Nou, where Boussy doesn't really stand up as well as, you know, De Jong does in that role in the second half.
I feel like it's just we're playing some of the best teams in the other leagues, right? Inter Milan, Dortmund. These are two dominant teams in their leagues, and we just are not used to that, I guess. I'm not sure. Like, Getafe, we beat them. We didn't have too much of a problem. It's kind of... but they're not on the top tier of La Liga, right?
True.
So we go into Inter Milan, we're having just like maybe an unexpected beginning. We're just not coming out and looking like we are mentally there, right?
Which is just a huge red flag
that
I'm really worried about. At the same time, though, you're totally right that Inter took it to us, and that's what kind of flustered us in the first half. Same time, it's not like we didn't lose to any of these La Liga teams, right? We lost to Bilbao.
Definitely.
We lost to Granada. Mm-hmm. So I think you're on the right frame of mind here, which is that Champions League teams will take it to us, and that is a huge issue. But I think it's just an overarching issue of whenever we come against teams that are going to press us really hard, with Busi as that CDM, that central defensive midfielder, we're not able to hold on the ball and then move it around these presses. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think it's a problem in Champions League 100%. I just think it's also a problem in La Liga to teams that are willing to press us. And it just seems like Busi is not quick enough and or... I mean, I guess quick enough is what describes it. Ready to pass the balls out as well as like catch up when they take the ball from us.
You can kind of see and you can compare it from the first and second half as we will Suarez. But you can kind of see as Busi went out and Vidal came in, Vidal was way more interested in constant ball movement. Busi seems to stop and look while Vidal is already aware of what's going on a little bit and is willing to make those passes much, like a one-touch pass, much more quickly. And then also to touch on Suarez, his first half, I mean, I can't complain too much because the second half was great, but he just
on the floor the whole time.
Why? Like,
it's just I think he does it more in Champions League than La Liga, but in these big games, man, he's just always trying to get these fouls that sometimes aren't there.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think the ref was not great tonight and kind of let the game get away from him, but overall, yeah, Suarez looked like the Suarez we've seen for the whole season, which has just been slow, cement feet. And this is kind of what we were talking about earlier today, which was that, you know, at some level, some people are out there saying that, well, this is the nature of Suarez's play. You know, he's got that unorthodox kind of clumsy style that's going to look bad when it's not going well. But when he scores amazing goals, we all praise him. So, you know, there was also an article in Sport, I think, this week that was talking about, hey, all you people who always yell at Suarez at the beginning of the season, he every season has this kind of intro where he's slower and then picks it up a lot as the season goes on. However, we're all aware of his woes Champions League away. So I'm not going to say that narrative is entirely true. But yeah, let's get into the second half. So I think, you know, at the one point where we want to give a lot of blame to Valverde, I think we have to give him credit for the sub. It was exactly what we needed. And kind of going into what you're saying about Vidal playing a lot of quicker passes, it's, you know, once Vidal came in for Busquets, the midfield really changed. And we saw a unique, almost double pivot where we had like a 4-2-3-1 where De Jong and Arthur kind of moved back as that two in the double pivot. And then we had that line of Vidal, Messi, and then Dembu/Griezmann. And I think that's really where we saw the team accelerate. And, you know, Frankie, first half looked good, but the second half, man, that guy looks really good. And I just think that overall when we play Frankie as the defensive midfielder who's kind of orchestrating, getting the ball from the back line to the front, he just really excels.
Well, I think he also took like... He took a very important step when Vidal came in. I think Frankie just decided that he knew that Vidal was going to be pushing up, and obviously this was orchestrated, hopefully, by Valverde, but he really mastered that shifting back and looked more fluid as Vidal took that forward position, and he didn't seem to have... Or he didn't have the mindset of pushing up, but more so controlling the midfield and making sure that the ball came forward more appropriately.
True. And I think what you're describing is kind of a bigger topic we should touch on, which is, and you can just call me Einstein for this one, when you play players in the position they play the best, they excel, right?
Definitely.
And so I think with Frankie, you're exactly right. Once we put him back into that central defensive midfielder position, he really excelled and looked beautiful. And I think we need to kind of talk about this in terms of Griezmann. because in some sense, right, Griezmann in this game got outshone by Suarez, who scored two brilliant goals. At the same time, I feel like Valverde is doing to Griezmann kind of what he did, honestly, almost exactly to Coutinho,
yeah.
which is taking a striker in Griezmann or taking a more central midfielder in Coutinho and then placing them where the team has a vacancy, which is at the left wing because mm-hmm. Dembele's hurt, and then trying to have them figure it out.
Yeah, he looked like he was having trouble interplaying, and he looked a little bit tired after playing so much defense during that first half.
Very true, but this is the issue we've seen all season, which is that we keep trying to play Griezmann as a left winger, and it just doesn't click as well as it should. But look at Griezmann on Atletico, look at Griezmann on France. He doesn't play that role,
mm-hmm.
and so you know I'm just worried overall that we're getting into this same thing where Valverde is going to take a world class player, put him somewhere they don't belong, and then be frustrated. Now, I will say this. With Coutinho, at times, it did seem like he was not giving the effort that we wanted to see, just running enough, and it seemed like he didn't put in the defensive shifts that Griezmann's doing. Now, I'm not someone who's saying Griezmann at Barca is like Coutinho at Barca. I actually think Griezmann is doing perfectly fine. I think that he scored some important goals. He had a header in this game that almost went in that could have been huge. He adds that heading threat that we actually mm-hmm. don't have. And like you were saying, 100% right, man. He is giving that defensive work rate that we needed from someone in that position. So I don't think all is lost, but we definitely are seeing Griezmann and De Jong not playing as well when they're played out of position. And then once, you know, we put De Jong into that role of a holding midfielder, once Vidal kind of moved up and Busquets was out, he played super well.
I just think the issue Griezmann also has on the left wing is he has trouble interplaying with Suarez, who's more centered a little bit. And I would like to see maybe some 1-2 touches between him and Suarez. I think the issue is Suarez, a lot of the time, doesn't get the ball through, even if he has that opportunity. And so I think even if Griezmann crosses to the middle, it's not going to happen just because I don't think Suarez is efficient enough to make that happen at this moment.
And I think, you know, kind of what you're saying, when we have Griezmann at the left wing, he doesn't draw the defenders away like Dembouz did, right? So Dembouz got subbed on for Griezmann.
Mm-hmm.
And when even though Dembele didn't have a great overall half, you know, especially, but when he first came on, I thought he really added a pizzazz and
took a couple great shots.
Took a couple great shots. I was hoping went in for his confidence. But overall, I think when he's on that left wing, which he's a winger, whereas Griezmann's not, he's able to run around and draw defenders to his side. And what that really does is it opens up Vidal, it opens up Messi and Suarez to have more chances to have less defenders on them.
I think he also lacks some crossing, Griezmann. That's the
I think you're right,
know?
But that's not
yeah.
as, that's I don't think
I know,
that's who
yeah.
Griezmann is, right?
Sure.
So like that's what I'm worried about is that same thing happened to Coutinho, we're going to have happen to Suarez, where like we're going to be upset that his skill set isn't what we need where we're playing him, but we shouldn't have bought him with the skill set he has to play that position.
Agreed. I just think it's typical Valverde trying to
fit a square peg in around a circular hole.
Yeah. But, like, he has all these players now, and more of them, Messi, Dembele, getting healthy again. It's kind of a struggle to play all these players and play them appropriately, right? Dembele came in as a sub. He did great.
He still has some patience issues. And,
for sure.
You know, he could get a little bit better decision-making on that side.
But how would... I don't know how else we would start this. If we still have Griezmann, Suarez, Messi in the beginning of any game...
I think that's why, you know, a lot of people, including myself, have been saying, let's see a Dembele, Griezmann, Messi front three.
Mm-hmm.
But before we, you know, go into future lineups, let's talk about Luis Suarez.
Yeah.
Right. So not a great first half, not a great first start to the season, but holy
the
moly.
Volley, man. The volley.
So the first goal was just a beautiful, you know, Messi was over in the right side, drew some defenders, kicked it to Vidal, and then Suarez was calling for it. Boom, little crossover, and then on the volley right into the corner.
Very beautiful. It was honestly what he needed to flower, and I hope it carries on. Even if it doesn't carry on so much in La Liga, I really hope Champions League, he just flowers and blooms. And
although, I always got to mention PTSD. We said the same thing last year, right?
True.
And it didn't pan out.
And we saw him in Liverpool, and he was just shocked when they were getting creamed and just didn't. That's the issue.
All right, just breathe.
Yeah, okay. Well,
and then the second goal, I mean, nothing really makes me as happy as seeing Lionel Messi out there doing his thing. He had a little bit of a first half where he needed to get back in the game. He hasn't played really a full 70-plus minutes in, like, what, 5 months or something?
Yeah.
But second half, he really brought it on. I think he had 11 dribble opportunities, and he completed 10 of them, which is just insane. And I think that, yeah, and so the second goal for Suarez, right, Messi just does that great dribble, dribbles around some people, boom, passes to Suarez. For once at this season, Suarez's first touch works out well, slots it home.
No lead feet or cement feet this time.
But just how happy were you, man, when that goal went in?
Dude, I watched that game. I started watching it at the 77th minute, I believe, or 75th minute, and I was like, oh, 1-1, oh, God. And when he made that touch, I was like, okay, like, wow, where was this, you know? But it made me so happy. He was so happy. Him and Dembele hugging mm-hmm. and, like, Messi super happy. I don't know. Everything is super energetic. That's what we needed. And I think that once that second half started warming up and Dembele came in especially, I don't know what it was, but the chemistry just started flowing.
True.
Right?
Well, it was taking Boussi out, is my opinion.
True.
And then as well, putting a natural winger as a winger, which mm-hmm. was Dembele in for Griezmann. After that, you know, it definitely looked like Messi was trying to score. Didn't get the chance. You know, we're all waiting for some Messi goals, but they're going to come.
I'm going to be honest. Suarez kind of messed it up for Messi on that one. He kind of had just not the best pass.
True. But, you know, overall, what's your take on this game? Because this is the big issue with trying to evaluate one game. I mean, I'll start, I guess. On one hand, let's hope the health of Messi and Dembele keeps going.
Yes,
and
please.
We get to see Valverde. You know, on some sense, it's so easy to criticize Valverde, and we should rightly criticize him for the last two seasons and the big failures we had in the Champions League against Roma and Liverpool. On the other hand, you know, I think he's had some bad choices this season, but I also feel like it's really hard to evaluate a team when the best player in the world is injured and one of the most exciting young players in the world, Dembele, is hurt, right? So I feel like Valverde hasn't had a chance to show us what he wants to do this season with a full bag of tricks. And, you know, Valverde has made some changes, right? He subbed out Rakitic from being a constant starter, which Yussi used to love. He subbed out Boussi in some big moments, right? Taking out mm-hmm. Boussi at halftime.
Even taking out Griezmann, too.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think Valverde is playing some younger players more than he would have in the past, so I don't love Valverde. You guys know we don't love Valverde here, right? Four podcasts ago, we had Valverde keeps ruining FC Barcelona. So we're not Valverde fans by any means. But I do, you know, we're stuck with him, right? And so I want to see what he can do with a fully healthy team, which we've only had basically this last game.
What I want to say about how I feel after this game is it's almost like a storm's kind of sort of present, like rain's coming down in this game. Could be an umbrella. It could be just, you know, Lukaku was out. We got fortunate in the first half that they didn't score more than one. We got saved in the second half by Suarez. It was all the right pieces to make it happen, but what happens when some of the chess pieces just shift a little bit? You know, it could easily have been a blowout. Although, I will say on the bright side, Valverde seemed to have taken an initiative, making some bold moves, and
it paid off.
Yeah, it paid off. Changing the formation was a big payoff, honestly. And true. I'm glad to see that he has done that. Although Valverde is scaring me in different ways, right? Like, I'm not confident when we go into any other game that he's going to do the same tactical smart decisions against anybody else.
Yeah, hope in Valverde is not high.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think on the counter side of it, first half was awful. Second half looked better, but at the same time, we were playing against an Inter that dramatically dropped down in quality in the second half.
Definitely.
You know, that's when you talk about that type of thing, it kind of gets into a weird, like, well, did they drop off because Valverde made the Vidal sub and that changed the game? Or did they drop off because they're tired, they traveled?
True.
But then on the other side, right, and, you know, we hate to bring up the whites from Madrid, but, you know, we saw them win those three Champions Leagues, and we all know they weren't the best team in the world for at least one and a half of those three mm-hmm. Champions League wins. So, you know, it's not always all about playing the best football. Sometimes it's about just winning. Now, on the other hand,
I was gonna bring
we've also brought up in the preseason that that was kind of the trap we fell into last season, which
think,
was that
think of 2 years ago.
True, which is you know, the last two seasons, Yus and I were here saying Valverde's not playing the prettiest football, but we're getting victories, right? And and we saw that that mentality, when you go against the biggest clubs like Liverpool, you can't just hope to scrape by a victory. You need to be commanding and have a presence and a football philosophy that resonates across the field, and we don't have that yet. So I think overall, man, I kind of just throw my hands up. It's early. People are just getting healthy. I don't really know what to expect from this season or from these players or from this coach.
I do want to say two things.
Sure.
One, Valverde, when Suarez scored two goals both times, I haven't seen this. Valverde looked happy. He looked energetic. He looked excited. Could this be because his job's on the line?
Certainly.
But that's the first thing, and I'm happy. I'm glad that happened because maybe the team saw that and it gave them energy, and hopefully that continues.
True, which before you have the second point, I've been saying this. I said this especially after we saw us lose to Klopp and Liverpool, and as well once we saw in that other semifinal last year in the Champions League, we saw Spurs beat City. A big talking point I had at that time was we need that coach who has an energy that will permeate and reverberate through the team.
Yeah,
and so,
I agree.
Hey, if Valverde is going to be out there screaming and cheering and bringing an energy, that is something I'm totally a fan of. You know, we saw the flip side. Conte was just going nuts, right?
Yeah, that got a yellow.
That Italian fire was going off. And sometimes I wish Valverde was more like that. And this game, he was.
Definitely. But the second point was that this game almost sort of reminded me of 2 years ago, like I was trying to say. First half looked pretty bad. Second half, we won. And we were called a second half team during that season.
True.
And we saw that it was not efficient enough.
True. Yeah, I mean, if you boil this game down and you're a cynic, you could at some point say, how could you be happy with this game, right? The team looked bad, and then Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez are two of the best players the last 25 years, and even at their age, their magic carried us to victory.
Definitely.
Right? I think overall, you know, we're as confused as you guys are where this team is. There were some dark spots. There were some bright points. Like we've been saying, I just hope that we can continue on and see progression. That's something we really have lacked the last 2 years, is like a solid progression that builds throughout the year. Before we kind of wrap up the Inter game, let's talk about some other players. So Semedo, put out of his normal position.
Yeah.
Didn't look great offensively. I think all of us can agree. At the same time, though, saved us from a few goals in that first half.
I think he added a good defensive mindset. I don't know if Firpo would have done much better or
possibly worse.
Yeah, who knows?
Classic Firpo first game.
Who knows, especially in the Champions League, but... yeah, I was all right with his business. He had to make, you know, he had to take an initiative. I'm glad he didn't look too bad.
And, you know, he's not going to play there every game, so it's hard to, you know, put it against him. But, yeah, overall, defensively, I thought he did well.
Even
On the flip side, we got Sergi, who I always have a soft spot. And the more haters of the Sergi Roberto crew will say that he's been living off the 6-1 goal against PSG for the last 3-4 years.
Yeah.
But overall, didn't inspire me like he did. I thought he looked great against Getafe.
He had one good cross, I would say.
Yeah, that Griezmann almost scored on. Mm-hmm. You're totally right. But overall, didn't see a lot of good connections on that side. It's hard, though, when Messi's in the game because, you know, Messi drops back so far and a lot of times in this game to the right that he's taking balls that Sergi might take sometimes. And, you know, the other thing about Messi from the right side is that he's left-footed, so he's cutting in, which makes him naturally not look towards where Sergi would have been.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when Messi comes in, there's a little bit less of a ability for Sergi on that wing to really be impactful. But, you know, even counting that, I thought he wasn't as impressive as I was hoping for.
Is there any other player?
Stegen.
Stegen?
I mean, we kind of been dancing around it, but looks great again, right? Mm-hmm. He got kind of punched in the mouth in that first goal, but it was good to see him keep his head and then save that huge Lautaro.
It made a huge difference.
True.
Honestly.
I mean, it did change the whole game, right? That he saved that. It's the German wall, man. The Berlin wall. It just looks great, and we've said it so many times. Besides Messi, he's been probably the most consistent player of the Valverde reign, and you know, we just keep hoping he plays as one of the best goalkeepers in the world.
I just hope the defense spruces up a bit because he's suffering some conceded goals in La Liga, and I really want that Zamora for him.
And, yeah, we know you're... well, that's already gone, to be honest.
I know.
Oblak's going to win that Zamora trophy, but we all know about
it. It's like, what, 5-6 years in a row now, if he will win it this year?
Quite a few.
Yeah.
And we all know your fixation with the Zamora. But
well, I just love my boy Stegen, and you know I purchased... Well, for as a birthday gift, I requested from my girlfriend a Stegen jersey, and I love it, and I wore it, not to this game, but I should... I wore it the last game and we won. Yeah.
All right. So. Well, let's move on from the Inter game. I guess what else? In this group, Dortmund won today mm-hmm. in Prague.
So they're tied with us.
So they are tied with us. So basically, we're gonna have to win. I mean, we have to win 6 points against the Prague team, definitely.
Oh, and please, if we let that game go, I'd be so upset.
True. But Valverde season 3, a lot of surprises, I think, still await us. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
This weekend, we come against Sevilla, who I feel like in the recent history, we've had a lot of luck against Sevilla. Sometimes a lot of, like, late crazy goals that do well. I think last season in the second game in Seville, Messi had a hat trick. I remember he also scored a hat trick in Seville against Betis.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm hoping overall we can keep our form up and win.
We seem to have an issue with them.
They're a good team.
They are. But we seem to have an issue with them in the beginning. And then maybe I kind of want to say their stamina does not hold through the whole game, kind of like this game.
True. And, you know, right now they're tied with us in La Liga at 13 points. So It is a pretty big game. We're going to be very excited. You guys know we'll have a pod afterwards, so please check it out.
We've been making pods after every game. It's been pretty
exhausting almost. Yeah, and you know, that's something just to throw in a little bit of some feedback we'd like from you guys. Do you guys like a podcast after every game?
Please,
you
know, let us know.
Yeah, is a 40-minute podcast after every game too much? Would you rather have us do it once a week where sometimes we're covering two games at once? That's something we're still debating about, and we want to hear from you guys. On the one hand, though,
long pod, though.
True. But as huge Barca fans, we know we try to get as much Barca content as possible. So for the foreseeable future, we're running one after every game. Let us know if you have any other thoughts. I guess to wrap up, just a few things. One thing that really bothered me, and I saw some British reporter, I think on Sport or something, talking about, there was an interview that Griezmann gave. I think it was after the Getafe game. It could have been between the Getafe game and today's game,
mm-hmm.
where he basically said, like, him and Messi don't speak a lot, and so they don't communicate a lot together, and then that Messi has been hurt. And I took it as completely to be, okay, Messi's not a very loud guy, Griezmann isn't either, right? They're kind of let their talking happen on the football field.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Messi hasn't been healthy, so how much time could they have possibly had to connect? Whereas it seems like a lot of these haters and English press and the Madrid press are trying to say there's turmoil between Messi and Griezmann, trying to create a story. They try to create a story about Suarez and Griezmann. Clearly that's not been
at all
either, so kind of bothered me.
There was a thing in that report or the interview or whatever it was where Griezmann had said that they share Mate together and stuff, and so, like, I don't see that as
cold.
Like, there's in any way. I just think he meant it as we haven't really had, like, that many opportunities to have, you know,
practices.
Whatever it is. It's just there's not enough interaction yet. I'm sure it'll grow. Like we've said, Messi was injured for 6 weeks. He was training alone for a long time.
Yep.
What interactions was he going to have? You know, obviously he's going to interact with his fellow national Frenchmen, Dembele and
Lenglet. Todibo. Where's Todibo at? But we'll get to that some other time.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Sevilla, he has to play. We're going to see Todibo on Sunday, right? Because Lenglet's out with the red card. So,
oh, geez.
Yeah, should be an interesting game.
That's a heebie-jeebie. Well,
only because Valverde hasn't played him enough.
True.
Right? I mean,
no, I agree.
What do you expect when you start the same two center backs every game and then something, which is all, you know, something's always going to happen where one of those guys is going to have a game where they can't play, injury,
definitely,
rest, red cards. And, you know, now we have to throw in a center back we haven't tried yet this season, but I believe in Todibo.
Hopefully, I. The only thing I'm thinking about is having that. What would your prediction for Sevilla be?
I think for Sevilla, I predict we're gonna win. Let me see here. Do you know if it's at the Camp Nou or not?
I think it's away. Off.
Let me check.
Because we were at home on.
No, this one's at the Camp Nou.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
So, yeah, we've had a. three games in a row at the Camp Nou.
Wow.
Which is going to be great for our confidence building.
Definitely.
So I think, counting for that, I think we're going to win 4-0. I think it's going to be a huge game, man.
Wow.
I'm calling Messi scores twice, Dembele scores once, and Griezmann scores once.
Okay. I'm going to go with a 3-0. I'm going with Messi, Dembele. That's my call.
Let's see it, boys.
Wait.
Well, I had a final topic I want to talk
about. Okay, good. Okay,
which
continue.
I don't want to be a purveyor of fake news, right? We live in the United States of America. There's a lot of just fakeness coming out. But there has been a lot of controversy coming up between PK and the board and then some comments Lenglet and Messi made. So I think, you know, trying to go off what we know for sure, right, is that after the Getafe game, PK came out and said, you know, we had a good game, but basically we wish that some of the members of the club, meaning the board, wouldn't use media outlets as their way to get narratives out against the players, right? And I think he was referring to a Mundo Deportivo article that came out last week, which basically said that the titans of the Barca dressing room were getting too big and were kind of running the club. You know, I think that, on one hand, I think that's overhyped in all the narratives that, like, Messi chooses players or it's Messi's friends that he wants get to the club. I think that's totally fake. On the other side of the coin, I do think we saw a lot of last season that the big players were never benched. And so, you know, maybe that's
part... We talked about that before, too.
Maybe that's part of the narrative going in. You know, there was also a comment Lenglet made, which is a comment I've been making on this pod this whole season, which is that the preseason was crazy and we traveled too much and that the board shouldn't have done that, right? So I think that was legitimate. And then the third comment people talk about is Messi said he wasn't, I think this was like during the best interviews, he said he wasn't sure if the board did everything they could to get Neymar.
Oh, yeah, I remember
which,
that.
Which is a little bit cryptic, but certainly, you know, Messi's a very controlled with what he says out in public, so he certainly meant that comment to be out there.
I mean, there were reports of Neymar texting like Messi and others and being like, hey, like, help me come back, basically.
True. Right? So, you know, we're kind of in a confusing spot, right? Like, how do we view the strife? Do you think it's going to cause a big issue? I mean, I was happy to see the team call the players-only dinner last week, which was nice to see. There were some rumors of Laporte being there, which is kind of odd and throws a wrench. But it's hard to really parse through what's actually going on. I am one who always talks about the fact that the sports media in Europe is different than in America, right? Like in America, if we get an announcement that like LeBron James is requesting a trade from the Lakers, or if Tom Brady is unhappy that Robert Kraft cut Antonio Brown, reporters in America are held to a journalistic standard that in my mind doesn't have a lot of fake news come out. Whereas in Europe, it's more of a salacious type media where, you know, board, the agents, the players themselves, their families are all throwing out these narratives to help them with contract disputes or to get, you know, favorable coverage in the media. And so it's really hard to parse out what's actually happening here. But clearly there's enough stuff there that there must be some truth behind these rumors.
There's something brewing is basically
true,
what's
but,
going on.
You know, like I said last pod, we're not journalists here. We're homers of Barca. We love Barca. And so I'm hoping that the healthy players being back and Valverde being able to work with a fully fit team is going to beget a bunch of on-field success. And once we start winning, I really think a lot of these side issues are going to kind of go away. Right, because there's no better solution to issues with the team than winning.
Well, I think that's the issue at hand. I think that's why some of these things are happening. The board, obviously, like Bart, I don't even know what I want to say about Bart ever.
Well, I think what you're getting at is very accurate, which is that when things aren't going well and you're at the biggest club in the world, the best club in the world, a club that is so used to winning and wants to harness these last years of Messi in the biggest way possible, that when things aren't going well, someone's head has to be on the chopping
block.
And so
I'm surprised no one's head has been cut, honestly.
True, but that kind of gets to this whole theory that, like, you know, Valverde is still here because the players must want him, right? And there were some comments by Messi and Rakitic after the Liverpool game that were basically like, hey, Valverde could have done better, I guess, but, like, the players were the ones on the pitch and we were the ones that got punched in the mouth by, you know, Wijnaldum and the other Liverpool players and didn't react. And so I think that there's a little bit of a battle because the board is basically like, well, you guys wanted Valverde.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone has to be blamed. So if you guys don't want the blame on him, it's going to go on you guys.
I think the realistic thing we're actually getting out here is we need to get into the Barca locker room and we need to be the reporters.
True. Yeah. That would you get used to Adam up in the Camp Nou reporting, I guarantee you guys we will get to the bottom of this. So please like us on Instagram, Twitter, follow us. Give us a review on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, tell all your friends who love Barca to follow us, and we will all get to the bottom of this team and get, hopefully, some trophies this season.
Yeah, and we'll see you guys Sunday?
Sunday. Sevilla, yeah. Todibo.
Be ready for the 50th pod in 2 weeks.
Peace out.